This is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast.
Helping youth workers to keep going.
My name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 15.
We're still rolling along.
Absolutely.
Back to the full-time episodes.
I know. Just got finished, 2 weeks on the Parent Chronicles. Hopefully you enjoyed that.
I hope so.
And here we are with episode 15, and I will try very hard to keep my eyes open as I stayed up far too late last night, Steve. Don't judge me on this.
Why? Why'd you stay up?
Because I was playing Fortnite on the Xbox.
Oh, jeez.
I knew you would judge
what
me.
Are,
I knew
what are you, like 14?
I knew
who
you
are
would judge
you?
Me on this. Hey, I'm just trying to stay relevant to that, which is important to our...
Oh,
actually,
grow up.
It's not true. I was playing with my middle school director, our worship pastor, and our high school worship leader.
Does your senior pastor ever join you guys?
No, he would not have turned an Xbox on, let alone play a game. So.
Wow.
And for the record, I am absolutely terrible at Fortnite. People, they mock me incessantly, but hey, you know, that's what I do.
Hey, I've played 2 games in my life, and the first time I finished 10th.
Did you hide in a bush the whole time?
Well, I had all those guys helping me out.
Oh, that's true.
They were like building all these structures for me and stuff. Yeah. But yeah.
All right.
It's just, I don't know. Good for you.
But anyway, that was my after last night. I felt good about it.
My after was 2 hot dogs, some rhubarb pie, a glass of wine.
Wow. Sounds like a pretty good after as well.
An episode of The Walking Dead.
There you go. There you go. That works.
That was
well.
Like super indulgent.
Yeah. Getting after it. So, Steve. What makes you angry?
What makes
what
me angry?
What sets you off? What just chaps your hide?
Wow, lots of things. But I would say the number one thing that really, really gets me angry is when a sporting event doesn't go my way.
Oh, you know what? I knew there was a reason we were good friends. That's like probably my top answer as well.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I get too invested.
When the Packers are losing, do you lose it?
I still, to this day, when I think about the Packers losing to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game after having dominated the whole game,
yeah.
I literally get angry.
I don't blame you.
I get, why does that matter so much to me?
That was an amazing game.
No, it wasn't. Amazing is not the word I would choose, Steve. You choose your words carefully, sir.
Sorry. Sorry.
Just I'm like me saying it's a good call to overturn the touchdown.
What are you talking about?
The Steelers,
good call.
Patriots game
Jesse James?
This last year, right?
Jesse James was robbed.
Yeah, well.
That call, I'm still salty about that call.
You are.
I mean, come on. 99.9% of Americans thought that was a touchdown catch. In fact, I ranted about that on Facebook for days. I was making people angry at me because
I almost unfollowed you on Facebook.
But the NFL listened to me.
I know
they changed the rule just because of my rant.
I don't think it was just because of
I think it was.
I think you're one of maybe a couple 100,000 rants.
Maybe so. Maybe but so. I was pretty mad.
I know you
I
were.
I was pretty mad.
Absolutely. You know what else makes me mad?
What?
You know, it shouldn't. It sets me off so bad. Bad customer service.
Oh, really?
Like when you go to you're checking out at the grocery store and they can't even interact with you or talk with you, or they're annoyed with you. Or we went to a restaurant the other day, and my wife was looking at the board trying to decide what she wanted, and she ordered something that wasn't on the menu. She saw it was a taco. She wanted a burrito, but she wanted the taco into a burrito, and she said, "I want this." And the lady rolled her eyes at her.
Oh, no.
I thought my wife was going over the counter because we're both hit with that same club. That just
I would
sets
not want to make
off.
Your wife angry.
That just sets us off.
Wow.
Neither would I. I don't know. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah. You need to chill out, man.
I know. I'm getting fired up right now.
You need
now.
To go to bed earlier. You'd get more sleep. You wouldn't be so angry all the time.
I did take second ones last night, though.
Oh, so good for you.
Felt pretty good about that.
Okay. Well, we were going to talk today about what makes us angry in youth ministry and how we respond to those moments when we're really mad.
Yeah. So it's kind of the when we almost lost it, or
maybe we actually did.
We actually lost it in a student ministry setting or in a church ministry setting.
Yeah. Because this happens to everyone. We're human beings. We get mad.
If it hasn't happened to you yet as a younger youth worker,
it'll happen.
It's coming. It's coming. And so, yeah, how we respond, both in the moment, hopefully those times when we almost lose it, but don't because we catch ourselves.
Right.
Or those times we lose it and then how things have to go after the fact.
Right. So maybe you're better than we are and this has never happened to you, but probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. So a couple of different scenarios, as my father-in-law would say, in which we could lose it. One would be with maybe a church leader.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, maybe an elder or board of directors.
No.
Or our boss or...
Elder's wife? No, never.
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 Sounds like there's a story there, Steve.
Possibly.
I'd love to hear it.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get into trouble now. Well, there was a situation with one of our seniors a few years ago. We do a senior banquet. It's a big deal, and we do that to honor our seniors, even if they really haven't been that involved over the years. We make it a big deal to bring great closure to their relationship with the youth ministry. And we had an elder's daughter who just kind of checked out sophomore year. We made many, many attempts. My wife was her small group leader, and we went overboard to get this kid involved. And it never happened. The parents, you know, just didn't. Well, to be honest, they didn't do what I think they should have done to get her involved.
Sure.
So it came down to the senior banquet. We got this kid signed up to come.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful.
We had her in the program, in the slideshow. I had all the activities. She was involved in all of it for the night.
Work then, was put in.
Absolutely. When we went overboard to do that, and then about an hour before the actual event, we got an email. We got an email from mom saying she's had a long day and she's not coming tonight.
Oh
man.
I was seething. You seem angry right now.
I was seething because we went to such great lengths and it had been this way all those years. And here we were trying to bring it to conclusion and it happened again. I was steamed.
Yeah.
So there was an attempt to kind of reconcile it, but the truth is, it wasn't my best version of myself. I didn't really want to have any more conversation about it. I was done.
Yeah. You did what you could and thought,
the event's over, and we celebrated the other 25 kids, and let's move on.
Let's move on.
Yep.
Yep. I understand that.
Pretty mad.
I bet you are. I remember I was at a... This is before here. This is previous church, very small conservative church. And I had kind of gone on a limb. We started a small group, and I had invited some neighbors to the small group, and she happened to be a Buddhist.
Okay.
And we were going through a book together. It was a book study. It was actually a wonderful time. We had a great time. But then the church invited everybody that was doing this book study in these small groups to come to church.
Right.
So I invited my neighbor to come to church, and she came to church.
Uh-huh.
I was so excited. I couldn't believe that I got a Buddhist to come to church on a Sunday morning.
That's incredible.
And then the pastor opened the mic and said, anybody that was in any of these book study small groups that'd like to share about something they learned, I would love for you to do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had sort of, I'll admit this, I had sort of pushed this lady that, hey, I think they're going to open the mic. You should totally go talk. Because I just was so excited she was going to be there. I wanted everyone to see this. And so, of course, she did. Uh-huh. She got up and she said, hey, my name is Barbara, and I'm a Buddhist. And then she bowed and said, namaste. And then she went on to say, like, hey, I'm in this group. And yeah, I'm not a Christian. But man, I fell in love with the beauty of the Bible again. And I can see Jesus and the people in our group. And it was just really cool. And I was in the front row just thinking, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. You know, so cool. So anyway, church ends. A couple days later, I'm in the workroom in the office. I'm making some copies. And an elder comes into the workroom and sees that I'm there and stops. And this was an elder I didn't get along with in the first place. We'd sort of already had a few run-ins. And they just sighed heavily and said, you know, Matthew, I was thinking about this last Sunday. And in me, I literally was thinking, this could be the turning point because they're going to be excited. I think what happened Sunday is the lowest point in our church's history that you allowed a Buddhist to speak from the stage during a church service. I just think it's the worst thing that's happened in the history of this church. I tell you what, if I would have been a cartoon.
I love the phrasing of that.
That's... If I would have been a cartoon, steam would have been coming out of my ears, you know, like in the old cartoons. Yeah. I was so mad. And again, this was not my best version of myself. And I said, with all due respect, I think it's the best thing that's happened in this church in its entire history.
So not an overstatement in any sense.
So clearly, we're at an impasse here.
Wow.
And then I just.
Then you left the church.
I literally walked out, grabbed my stuff out of my office, and walked home and got on the internet to find the job that I'm currently in.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was pretty pissed.
I could tell.
I still think about it to this day.
Yeah.
What about a parent? Did you ever lose it with a parent or want to lose it with a parent?
Yes. I'll say yes to the second. I wouldn't say that I've lost it with the parent, but there was a time when... we used to do this thing where we wanted to get parents and students together to watch a movie and actually talk about how you are to watch movies and find the gospel in them.
Sure.
And sometimes that involves movies that aren't the Christian movies, right?
Oh, no,
like,
no.
You don't get together to watch War Room and talk about how do you see the gospel in this movie.
No, you got to watch...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I chose a movie. It was probably not the best choice because it was rated R. But it was Amistad.
Love it.
It was Amistad.
Oh,
you know that movie?
Steven
Spielberg, about the slave ship.
Sure.
It's rated R because in the very beginning of the movie, there's slaves on the ship and they're naked. But they're being tortured and thrown overboard. I mean, it's a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch. It's very emotional. But they're naked. So
see
I
see where this is going.
Yeah, so I had a parent. I was doing a parent class at the time, and I had a parent stand up in the class and berate me for wanting to show this movie and saying, "I can't believe you're." This is how he said it. "I can't believe you're going to show a movie that has nudity in it."
That's not framed correctly.
Had nothing to do with the plot of the movie. And I tried to talk him off the cliff. I said, "I'd be happy to talk about this with you afterwards." And he pressed on. He said, "No, we're going to talk about this right now."
Oh.
And I'm just seething in this. But there's also other church leaders in the class. And so we've eventually moved on from that point. And I did something that I thought was pretty big of me. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to toot my own horn.
Hey, toot away.
I called him up 2 days later. And I apologized. Even though I didn't think I should.
Wow.
I apologized to him. And this is what he said to me. He said, "I'm sorry for my righteous anger." That was his apology to me.
Oh, I would have.
I was frosted, man.
I would have crawled through the phone. Oh, man. Easy.
I'm
easy,
still,
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Easy, Steve.
Well, they're not at the church anymore.
Righteous anger.
They didn't see the, I don't know, they didn't see the value in what I was trying to accomplish by having parents and kids talk about, because the gospel's in that movie.
Sure, clearly.
Because there's this scene where the slaves are looking at a picture copy of the Bible. And seeing Jesus on the cross and talking about how he's like them. He suffered like them unjustly. It was
right.
A beautiful moment.
Yeah, but they couldn't see it.
They couldn't see it. All they saw was naked slaves.
Yeah, I had some parents once. They were probably over-invested parents from an episode or two ago here. Real involved in their daughter. And their daughter was... We had some struggles with their daughter on our worship team. And so we had worked. And again, I'll say this. It wasn't me because I had somebody, a volunteer that was over that. And I worked with this volunteer. Felt like that volunteer handled it as gracefully as possible. Tried very hard to work with this student to get them to a better place so that they could remain, even when that wasn't possible, offered them a different spot on the worship team.
Okay.
Just not a lead spot.
I see where this is
going. This was not received well by said student.
Yes.
And said student stormed off in a huff.
Uh-huh. Which is not a great demonstration of a mature Christian leader. Yeah.
Yeah. And then got a call from the parents who also did not take said information very well, that wanted to set up a meeting. And of course, my best version of myself says, "I would love to meet with you so that we can work this through and get to a point of restoration." Because I'm not a fan of unresolved conflict.
Okay.
I'm not really a fan of conflict in the first place. But Certainly not a result. So I set this meeting up. And so these parents walk in. Now, I'm not looking forward to this meeting. I know it's not going to go well, but I'm ready to give it the old college try.
You're going to take one for the team.
And they walk in, and I say, they sit down, and they're visibly tense mm-hmm. and angry. And mm-hmm. I think, oh boy, this is going to maybe even go worse than I thought. Mm-hmm. And so I said, which I do quite often when people come to my office, why don't we pray first? So that God can help guide us to some positive, you know, results here, to some restitution, some resolution. And the father leans forward in his chair, elbows on his knee, almost clenched fists, and he looks at me and he says, "Look, we're not here for resolution. We just want to yell for a little while at you." I was so caught off guard that
wow.
I think I should have been angry, but I was more confused.
I think so, I would have laughed.
So you know what I did? I prayed. I didn't even respond to what he said. I just started to pray and say, "God, please lead us to a place of peace and wow. a place of restitution, resolution here, and help us get through." And then for an hour and 20 minutes, they just told me everything that they could think to tell me to make me feel like a horrible person.
I can still see the bruises on your face.
And when it was over, I was angry. I was so angry because sure. they just couldn't see it. They just couldn't. I mean, I probably explained to them 10 different ways in that hour and 20 minutes that they're not seeing things clearly and this yeah. is how they should see it. And they didn't have any interest in seeing it. I was so angry. Oh, he's still getting mad to this day.
You ever lost it with a student or a group of students?
Oh, yep, both. Yep, yes and yes. You?
Yes, I have, absolutely. My angriest moment, actually. I still, this is like, when I think back through my time at this church, this pops to the top in memory. It was about 6-7 years ago, we were on this retreat, and I had this group of senior student leaders that just kind of got a little full of themselves. And lost track of their position as student leaders and what that meant. So we're on this retreat, and I'm driving them home in a van full of kids. And I heard them, they were on a phone, which we shouldn't have let them bring, but they were on their phone, and they were texting this other girl who was on the bus, okay? And she was new to our group. She was a senior also, but she had just started coming to our group that year. So one of the girls had taken a phone, and she was texting this other girl on the bus, posing as this boy.
Oh, no.
Okay, that the other girl kind of liked.
Oh, this is...
And so she's kind of messing with her emotions a little bit.
Oh, this is not cool.
And all of my senior student leaders are in the back of the van, and they're all huddled around laughing about this
encouraging it.
Conversation. And I'm listening to this as I drive in disbelief. That this is happening. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I kept thinking, there must be some other explanation to this. But I listened and listened, and that's what was happening.
Oh, no.
So the blood started to boil.
Oh.
I mean, it was like a beaker in chemistry class, right? You put the dropper in there, and there's going to be an explosion.
Here we go.
So we're about an hour out from home, and I pull over into this convenience store. And I turn off the engine, and I turn around. And for the next 20 minutes, man, I let loose. I came up with the most creative phrases I've ever found in my vocabulary.
Was the Holy Spirit speaking
through
you?
The Holy Spirit was speaking, man. I was just unloading on them. How could you do this? You're supposed to be student leaders. You're acting like you're some kind of elitist, super cool. You're not cool. You're just treating people like crap. What is wrong with you? Who do you think you are? What are you doing?
I'm picturing Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation giving that little dialogue. You know,
Where's the Tylenol?
Give me the Tylenol.
Yeah, but this is, and I had one of my leaders sitting next to me in the passenger seat, and his mouth. His jaw drops. He's just looking at me like,
"What is happening?" We push Steve over the edge.
So we drive back to the church, and we are literally 1 minute from the church. And I thought, "I'm not finished." I pulled off again.
Oh no!
I pulled off again, and I went off again. The tears are flowing in these kids. They get back. They crawl off the van. they're just tears just pouring out of their faces. Oh, and man. I just let loose.
Oh no.
I let loose.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
they can push you.
You want to push my buttons, have some students treating other students in the group poorly and acting like they're better than an elitist. Oh, I will lose it. I will lose it.
I had a student once. It was a student that was involved with a larger group of students that got into some trouble. Right. And similar situation. A lot of these were student leaders. I had this group of student leaders that, and an intern actually.
That's why we get so mad, because we love them.
Got into some trouble at homecoming. Yeah. There was some alcohol involved. And anyway, a few kids had to leave the leadership team for it. A few other kids worked through the restoration process and were fine. Then there was one kid who wasn't a part of the student leadership team, but had gone with one of the other key student leaders. And when I called that person's mother to kind of say, hey, there was alcohol involved, you should probably talk to your daughter about this. And I gave the daughter a chance first to tell her mom.
Right.
You know, and said, if you don't tell her, then I have to tell her. I'm legally bound to do that. And the gentleman in question that she had gone to homecoming with was at my house on Sunday afternoon, right after I'd given her the news that she had to tell her parents.
And he'd already fessed up.
He'd already fessed up. He's already working the process. But she's texting him.
Right.
And he's showing me the text, and I'm blushing thinking about the text. I mean, it was just this tirade about what a horrible person I was, and he's got a layoff. If my parents find out I was drinking, my life is going to be over. He needs to butt out of my life. And at one point in time, she says, he's not my effing youth pastor. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And he's laughing about it, but inside, I'm starting to get anger. I'm like, absolutely. You've just made my life miserable by having to call all these parents and do all this stuff and deal with this stuff. And somehow no, this is not how this is going down. So I said, screw that. I'm not giving her time to tell her mom. I picked up the phone. I called her mom. And I said, this is what's going on. Da, 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 da. The next Sunday. And of course, I've got a whole week now to seethe on this.
Right. How did mom react to this?
Well, at first, mom denial. Oh, I talked to her. She said she wasn't drinking. I said, you know, you should probably pull her cell phone records and look at her text messages for the last hour. It might tell you a different story.
You are the genius.
I know. I love that. And then she called me back an hour later. She said, oh, Matthew, I'm so very sorry. She was so embarrassed. So anyway, we talked about that.
You're like Chloe on 24.
At 24, man. Yes,
she's
exactly.
She's got to track that down everything.
The next Sunday, I'm standing in the back of church. This church is getting started, and this family walks in with this daughter.
Okay.
And they kind of walk
past
me.
She's your biggest fan.
She's ice. I mean, she from the minute she walks in, she's like ice cold, right? And the whole family walks past me. They get maybe 20 yards past me, heading toward their seats, and then they stop, and I can see them talking to her, and then she turns around, and she comes back to me.
Ooh.
And she comes right up to me, and I mean, she could not have had more of an angry, bitter face on her, and she looks right at me, and she says, I'm told by my parents that I'm supposed to say I'm sorry to you. And so I'm saying I'm sorry right now, but I just want you to know it didn't happen. I didn't drink at all at that party. I completely lost it. This is the non-best version of myself, because I just looked at her, and in the back of church, I said, I don't understand why this matters, because evidently I'm not your effing youth pastor.
Wow.
But I did not. Wow. I said the full on, the grandmother of them all, right in front of the information desk at our church to a student.
Wow.
Her eyes, I mean, she went white as a ghost and turned around and walked away. Did not talk to me for 2 years. Yeah, not my finest moment.
Yes. Was there any fallout from that?
You know, not, no. I mean, again, I think her parents were avoiding me like the plague because they felt so bad about what had happened. I mean, they're still around. She's in college now. Actually, out of college, involved in our 20-somethings ministry, went on a missions trip with me last year to Kenya.
Okay.
We're in a great place. Came to me on Sunday and said, hey,
did she go on an effing missions trip with
me? She went on an effing missions trip with me. So it turned out well. It turned out well. That was an individual student. I have a group story, too. You have an individual? Did you ever lose it? Like, you know, in an individual setting that you can think of?
Well, I already talked to the Sherpa Short about the time
I'm going to come back and kick your ass.
Yeah, that's probably my best one. Yeah. So I've already told that.
That's
one.
True. That's true. Well, I had a group. This goes way back. This is probably early 90s. I was pretty new, pretty green. I probably was in my mid 20s.
Okay.
You know, and I had this group, probably group of 20, maybe 25 high school kids, and we had a potluck that night. Kind of the first part of the night was just hang out, eat some food, and then we were going to do the content. And I had this cutting edge new resource from U Specialties called Edge TV.
Wow!
They sent me a VHS tape like once every 2 months, and it had these like really cool video effect interviews.
I remember those.
Yeah, so we're watching this. Best. We're watching
this interview.
You
still use those, don't you?
No, I do not. I don't even know where my VHS player is.
Yes, you do.
I do not. So anyway, we're up there. So now I think I've done a pretty good job of transitioning them from hanging out and eating to now we're going to be serious. We're going to watch this video and then we're going to have a discussion about it. And this video is this like this woman pouring out her heart about her bulimia, like, and how God, you know, sort of rescued her and saved her.
Okay.
And it's just this heart-wrenching story. But the video effects are a little corny. Like they're trying, I think they were trying Edge TV, no offense Edge TV. They're trying too hard to be hip. And so it was and the kids
it was like an MTV knockoff.
Yeah, the kids couldn't get over it. And so they were making fun of it. They were giggling. They were laughing. So I'm trying to get us to this deep place at least three times. Guys, okay, I understand the video is weird, but focus on the content. We really want to go somewhere. And they just weren't hearing it. And I just see bubbling. I'm getting
angry.
Someone
put the dropper in.
So yeah, boom. Yeah, somebody put the wrong element in the beaker, and I blew up. And I mean, mid interview, I walked up, and I mean, with the force that would break a TV, I turned the power off, and I just ripped the plug out of the VCR.
Threw the TV across the room.
The TVs that were too big. You couldn't lift it up, you know. It was, back then, we were probably an hour before youth group was supposed to be over, and I ripped the plug out of the VCR, turned the TV off, turned around and said, youth group is over. Call your parents and go home. I don't want to see you anymore. Turned around, walked out, slammed the door. Because it was a duplex. We were we had a ministry center duplex. So we were on one side of the duplex. The potluck had happened on the other side. So I walked out one door, slammed it, walked in the other door, slammed that so they could hear it. And then I was in there, I was washing dishes and cleaning up from the potluck. I was just like, no, I'm done. Not going to happen anymore. And it was probably a good 25 minutes before about two students came wandering over to the other side. I was just about cleaned up. And they came over like heads hung low, and we've been elected to come and apologize on behalf of the group.
We drew the short straws.
And so nobody called their parents. They decided to kind of have a little meeting of their own without me.
Little huddle up, huh?
And so then they called me back over, and then I had an opportunity to apologize, because I shouldn't.
You
that did. Was not.
Yeah, you felt bad.
I felt bad because I shouldn't have lost. I shouldn't have slammed doors. And I was like, I was a child at that point in time, but I was so angry. And we ended up getting to a really good place, you know, because they were able to understand, well, we shouldn't have done this.
Right.
And I was able to say, but just because you did that doesn't mean I should have done this. And this wonder, it actually
it's
got
a
to the
it's
place.
A teachable moment.
We got to the place we were trying to go, but it just not on the road I anticipated us getting there.
So maybe that's the takeaway for this, is that when we do lose it, if we lose it, I mean, maybe you're better than we are.
Maybe
you've never
version.
Lost and never will. But there may be a time when you do. Is there something good that can come from it? Some kind of conversation that mutually brings you together, you know, a little bit of teachable moment that comes.
Right, an opportunity to model, look, I'm not perfect. I blew it.
Yeah.
I was completely justified in losing my mind because they were being jerks.
Sure.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean it's okay for me to lose it on a group of 14 to 17-year-olds as a 26-year-old
right.
who should know a little bit better. So to model that for them that, like, look, I'm not perfect, and when I'm not, I'm willing to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an important lesson for our students to see us model that yeah, oops.
And I think there are some things that are worth getting really angry about.
Sure.
I mean, in the case where I would be rated the kids in the van, like, to me, if you have student leaders who are doing things intentionally to make other kids not feel welcome,
that's not okay.
I'm going to lose it. That's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not going to stand, and that needs to be changed and corrected, or else we are missing the whole point.
Right.
I'm going off of my rant again. I'm calling it out of my memory banks.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it was important to say those things. Maybe I should have I don't know, gone inside and gotten a Slurpee before I did. I don't know. That might have helped.
That might have taken the edge off, but the rant probably still would have been there.
Yeah,
the fact that you pulled over later tells me there was enough inside there. No Slurpee was going to fix that, Steve. So, yeah, so as you think about times maybe in your tenure as a youth worker that you've been kind of angry to the point of wanting to lose it with maybe a church leader or a student or a parent or maybe the group of students, how do you keep from losing it? Because there were a couple of stories that we told where we actually avoided actually losing it, even yes. though being angry.
I think one answer to that is to have another place to lose it. So, you know, preferably not your home with your spouse, but right. maybe some friends somewhere or just, you know, yeah.
You call and vent.
Yeah, call and vent. Have a venting moment. I think that's important.
Absolutely. And when you do lose it, when the best version of yourself does not show up
mm-hmm.
and you end up losing it, then how do you restore from there? How do you work that through so that it is a learning lesson both for you and for the people who watched you
yeah.
melt down?
It's not the end of the world.
Nope.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Absolutely. So hopefully this is a little helpful for you. I'm sure you have some stories. Maybe you can share those stories with us on Instagram or Facebook or you know, let us know because we're all learning this together.
When you lose it or almost lose it, or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again for listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. If you haven't yet, would you mind going out to iTunes and giving us a review? We would really appreciate that.
And don't forget to visit our Instagram.
Yes.
And our Facebook. We just love conversation, the camaraderie amongst youth leaders. So jump in the conversation. We'd love to learn from each other.
One of our favorite things is hearing from you and getting to know youth workers around the country and hear about the ministries that you're leading. That's just really exciting to us. So please keep doing that. Keep reaching out. We'd love to be in touch with you and hear what's going on.
Otherwise, we will be back next week with episode 16. So for now,
can't wait. Sherpas out.
Out.